Hey, 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 it's Digital Sister, and I'm back for episode number 75. You knew I wouldn't stay away from you too long, but we've been bombarded with snowstorms, and it just does something to you mentally, and then you have to dig out, and then you can finally come back and drop a podcast. So here I am. Let me get started. First of all, let me just go back a little bit because I just wanted to share some reflections about what it was like, because I actually attended a political rally for Senator Obama back in February, right before the Ohio primary. And it was very historic. For one thing, I attended the rally with my mom, and we have never, ever done something like that in our lives. So that was historic, number one. But what I really want to talk about was there were over 6,000 people that came to this gigantic convention center, and it was across the board everybody. And then there was this old white man sitting next to me, and we started talking a little bit because, you know, I was curious, because if I saw this guy on the street, I would naturally assume he was a staunch Republican type. But he said, you know, I've never attended a political rally before, so whatever it is that Barack Obama is doing, it is drawing people into the mix that probably never have ever felt that they mattered or had a voice. So it was just wonderful to see. I mean, people had their children, I mean little kids, had them up on their shoulders. People were taking pictures all over the place. And you saw a lot of middle-class white folks with sweatshirts on, Obama for president. And it was just refreshing to see all these people that had come to see him, and it was just across the board, white, black, young, old, Asian, Middle Eastern, you name it, it was there. And it was just wonderful to see. It was great because Senator Obama talked for about an hour. You know, he's very tall, very good looking, and he looks really very presidential. And so it was very exciting to me, really, to be there, to be part of history. And that's really what you heard in the line as people were waiting to go in, that they wanted to be part of history. No matter how the election goes, they just wanted to be part of history, to be there and have a chance to see him and hear him in person. So it was real exciting to do something like that. Let me move on. Now, what's up with the Air Force giving a big several billion dollar security contract to the Airbus consortium, which is a consortium of European countries? I don't understand that. Other countries are not turning over their security to foreign nations, despite the fact that you feel that Europe is a friend. But who's to say there couldn't be someone within that European consortium who maybe was sympathetic to, you know, groups that weren't so friendly towards America, and maybe they could be the person that does something. And it wouldn't even be the people who were targeting so much, you know, the Islamic fundamentalists. It could be somebody completely different, coming from a totally different area that we didn't suspect. And so that's why I say it's bad, bad, bad to do something like that. And there were a couple of Congress people that really, you know, really hammered the Air Force commanders for doing this, but I don't think there was enough outcry. I mean, didn't we learn from when Bush wanted to give the ports over to Dubai the last year, and people had a fit? So I don't understand what's going on with our country, that we are selling ourselves down the river. Saudi sheiks are bailing out Citicorp and other financial institutions, buying seats on stock exchanges. I mean, I don't understand what this is all about. But America better wake up and stop being so short-sighted and so greedy, because we are selling out the interests of our own nations. And you can believe other nations around the world, you know, behind closed doors are probably giggling and thinking how stupid we are. So I don't understand that. But, you know, right, letters to your Congress people, all of that. We can't let that happen. It's just totally ridiculous to me. Now, remember a couple of podcasts ago we were talking about New World Order and some of the things that are going on with the Bilderberg and Trilateral Commission, things like that? Well, I salute the country of Norway because they have created something that's called the Noah's Ark of 100 million seeds. But basically, it's like a doomsday storage facility, and it's being called the, I hope I pronounced it right, the Svalbard Global Seed Vault on the Norwegian island of Spitsbergen. And it holds seeds from 268,000 plants and is large enough to hold 2 billion seeds. And the vault is drilled 400 feet into a mountain. What is so fascinating about this is that, you know, it's built on this island that is 600 miles from the North Pole. I can't even imagine, like, where that is and how cold it is. And the temperature is something like 4 degrees below zero. So we're talking really, really cold. But as it turns out, the country of Norway has had the foresight and the will to do something like this. And who's to say? God forbid it doesn't happen in my lifetime, but if it does, thank God some country is thinking about food and things that people who will come after us, that they will need to begin a new civilization and a new world. And so I think it's wonderful that they're doing this, and I think it's wonderful that they're planning for this. And it's interesting because it seems that seeds can be viable for many, many years. Apparently, wheat can last 1,700 years, and barley has been known to last 2,000 years, the seeds, the grains of those items. And so even if something goes wrong with the compressor that will keep everything cold, because of the temperature out there, the seeds are still going to be viable for 200 years. So it's like a win-win for those people who will come after this when doomsday hits. So I say kudos to Norway for having the foresight, the will, and the innovative thinking to do something like this. Because it could be a small Scandinavian but innovative country like Norway that may really save the rest of the world. So my hat is off to you, Norway. Now, what is up with Geraldine Ferraro? You remember she was Walter Mondale's, he picked her to be his running mate back in 1984. And she was, you know, at that time a trailblazer for women at that time. But I don't know what's wrong with her, you know, 20-something years later when she makes a statement, and it was with a paper out of Torrance, California, but it got picked up by the major media, where she was saying basically that Senator Barack Obama was in his situation right now because he's black, he's lucky to be there, and that the whole country is caught up in this concept. And I thought, well, how stupid, number one, for a white woman to make such a comment. If she is close friends with anybody of color, I don't know how she could make such a statement, because if it were that easy, we would see so many more people of color in the news media as anchors. We would see so many of them in the actual newsroom doing the work. We would just see more people of color on television, period, if that were the case. But that is not the case. In this country, it's not easy to be African American, and you're certainly not going to get somewhere just because you're black. And to me, that whole statement just smacked of the fact that she was really playing down and really denigrating his candidacy. I mean, Senator Barack Obama has put together an organization, that is winning in states where there are no people of color. He's raising millions and millions of dollars with his organization and with his message. So he is actively running and winning. Ferraro never had to do any of that. She was just picked and, you know, maybe went to some locations, but she never had to raise money, put an organization together, and actually go out and campaign like he's doing. So I don't know, you know, what that is, except maybe it's a little veiled hate. Maybe it's a little old lady racism. I don't know, but I just thought it was a terribly stupid comment. And then when people called on her to at least apologize or clarify, she didn't back down. She's not about to back down. And then, to top it off, she tried to make it out to seem that she was the victim and that Senator Obama should apologize to her. And I like what he said, that it was completely ridiculous. But I think, you know, these are the little distractions that we have to ignore, because we have a lot of the old guard who's having problems with his candidacy, and, you know, they're going to say these things, and they're distractions. And so I hope as the campaign goes along and we finally see how things are going to pan out, that neither of the candidates will get caught up in really the bullshit of their surrogates and making these stupid comments. Get back to telling us what your vision is for the country, how you're going to change things, what you're going to do from day one when you become president. That's what people want to hear. We don't want to get mired in all of this racial stuff, which is a distraction. And if it's not careful, it will backfire, and then we will see someone else in the White House, which will be something that a lot of us don't want to see. So, you know, don't fall for the distractions, but continue to stick to the real issues, change, and what you're going to do for the country. Oh, no, Elliot Spitzer. What was he thinking? I mean, no, he wasn't thinking, because he was governor. He felt he was above everything. And the sad part and the hypocrisy of it is that he ran on this moral authority thing, as a lot of these guys do, and that it turns out they're the actual perpetrators. So they're big hypocrites. And so, you know, was this piece of ass worth losing your career and being totally embarrassed and having to have probably some legal problems that are going to come up? I mean, it just wasn't worth it. And then he went to see this chick right before Valentine's Day. So it makes you wonder, A, how his wife is staying, because we don't really know what their relationship is and how much, you know, the wives look the other way, and what she's feeling, because I'm sure when you're in that circle, you know, it's very hard sometimes, unless, you know, it's probably very hard to walk away, because, you know, your social status is tied to that, your social network, everything's kind of tied to that. Particularly, I don't know what her background is or if she had a career before that, but if her life has been tied in that whole political thing, it may be very hard for her to totally walk away. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but it just kills me how they do these rotten things, and then they expect their wives to stand up there with them to give them some shred of credibility. I mean, it was just stupid, it was arrogant, and he didn't think he was going to get caught. And he probably wouldn't have, except for some other things that happened and triggered this investigation with movements of cash, and it turns out they find out that the cash movements are Elliot Spitzer. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens to him. But it'll be a new chapter for New York State, because David Paterson is African-American. He's legally blind. So I think it's going to be a great moment for all those folks who have disabilities, who've been discriminated against, who've been told they can't do something. And now we have a man in a very strong leadership position who has a mild disability, but who is in a great position, who will be able to function. And so I think that's going to help people in those kind of situations to be viewed more favorably. So there probably will be a win-win for the state and a win-win for those people affected by some kind of disability. So we wish him well, and, you know, New York will move on without Spitzer. Now check this out. The IRS is investigating gospel artist Yolanda Adams. And I think it was Charles Grassley, he's a senator from Nebraska, who was looking at a lot of these televangelists and people in the media, and really looking at the fact that these folks are raking in millions and millions of dollars a year, and they're set up as nonprofit organizations, so of course they aren't paying any taxes. And so he was requesting records from a number of prominent preachers and televangelists and things like that. Some people were turning over the information, some were not. But apparently with Yolanda, she had a date to meet with the IRS for them to ask questions, and she didn't show up. She, I guess, was on her Tom Joyner cruise doing that. But she's going to have to face the music, because, you know, when the IRS comes knocking, you better have some answers, because they can turn your world upside down, a la Ronald Isley, who's in jail right now serving out his time for tax evasion. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, again, hypocrisy. Here are people who are supposed to be living the word and doing these great things, but then, you know, they're raking in all this money but not necessarily taking care of business, and so they're just like us too. So don't put people up on pedestals until you really know what's happening. Now, Dr. Dre's mom, Verna Griffin, is writing a book. I cannot wait to read it because it's going to be nice to read something from the mom's point of view as to how her son, you know, his rise with NWA and all of that and Death Row Records. And it will be interesting to see some of her comments versus the comments from Jerry Heller and his book, Ruthless, memoir that came out last year. So it'll be interesting to see if she has any comments about Jerry Heller and if it refutes some of the things he said in his book. I can't wait to read it because I just think it will be fascinating to see how the behind the scenes with all the West Coast hip-hop and NWA and things like that. So I'm sure it's just going to be a great, great read. So I'm looking forward to that. Congrats to Ice Cube because he is, like, really doing it. He's got his online company, which is called UN, let me get this right, UNTV. Let's see. Let me make sure. Oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, it's UVNTV.com. UVNTV.com. He's going to be broadcasting his concert performance from the Austin Festival on his site, so I think that's really great. And again, he's one of those people that came out of the whole NWA experience and was, you know, chewed up in Jerry Heller's book. But hey, Ice Cube is doing it, okay? So go on, Ice Cube. And let me say, congratulations to Gamble and Huff because they were finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, these guys have written such great, great music. And Patti LaBelle, you know, serenaded them and everything. So I'm glad that they're getting their due because their music is timeless and it still sounds good. Remember the song MFSB, Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, and Poinciana, and If You Don't Know Me By Now, you know, For the Love of Money, 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 you know the tunes. Anyway, let's get back. Bishop Weeks finally admitted that he beat up his wife, Prophetess Juanita Bynum. And so he's going to have to go to anger management classes, I think pay a fine or something, but then after he does that, then his charges of aggravated battery and all that are going to be expunged from his record. So he finally, you know, fessed up to it and is dealing with it. And I think now that they will be able to move on, and I believe they're going to be going through a divorce. But at least, you know, they're dealing with that and moving on. So that's a good thing. But in any event, don't forget, please remember, go to www.hiddenbeach.com. www.hiddenbeach.com to hear my podcast commentaries and, you know, listen to them and leave a comment so I can hear from you and you can let me know what you think. All right. Well, I think that's it for now. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. The revolution is on radio. Digital Sister signing out. I'll be back with you in a few days.
Sing, I'm a little bit of 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 a